Our gospel lesson today is Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in high school, I went on a couple of mission trips to a border town in Mexico called Nuevo Laredo. There we built a school and a health clinic in the middle of an incredibly impoverished little village. And by impoverished, I mean that people were living literally in the middle of a city trash dump. The residents lived in little lean-tos that I will never forget, with walls made from scraps of metal, old barrels to collect rainwater for drinking and cooking and cleaning, old tires for chairs and toys, and ratty mattresses and fabric for sleeping. And there we met the most amazing Christians, people with few possessions but tons of faith in Jesus Christ. Their worship was like a big party every week. It made you want to get up and dance like so many of them. People were on their feet, clapping, playing tambourines, smiling, laughing. One day, a few of us were invited to the home of Maria after we finished our building and painting at the school. She was insistent on feeding us at her home, and we had no idea what that meant. She was this small woman with a big smile and a big heart, exuberant in her faith and gratitude to us for working in her village. When we went to her home, we were so humbled by what we saw. She had this old skillet over an open flame to prepare our meal, and we could see that dinner was cactus. We had seen cactus growing along an old fence at the dump. I saw her take that cactus, and before she cut it up for her frying pan, she carefully pulled out the needles with her bare, calloused hands, smiling and talking to us the whole time. I can't even tell you what an impact this had on my privileged life as a high schooler in suburban America. This woman who literally had nothing was giving so generously of what she did have. I couldn't help but think of her when I read the story of the widow's offering this week. This is a challenging story, but there are some important details. We know that she's a widow, and widows had very few resources, if any, and we know that these are her last two coins. But what if this story is not just about giving away your last dime? Would Jesus tell her to do that? Would it be unethical to say that God wants you to give your last penny as a widow? I mean, God encouraged people to support widows, orphans, and the poor. Just before this story, in verse 40, Jesus condemns the religious leaders who devour widows' houses. In other words, the religious establishment was not caring for the least of these. So what if there's another side to this widow's gift? Do you remember how God uses a widow to provide for the prophet Elijah with a never-ending jug of oil and jar of flour? Remember that story? In 1 Kings 17, Elijah meets a widow with a young son, and Elijah asks her to cook for him. She tells Elijah she only has enough food to prepare a last meal for her and her son before they die. But somehow, because of her faithfulness, she feeds Elijah, and then her little jug of oil and jar of flour do not run out. God miraculously provides. A widow in biblical times had to rely upon men in her life for support, like her deceased husband's brother, if there was one. But if there is no family or no children, or the children are too young to earn a living, a widow is entirely dependent upon charity. The Bible is full of provisions for struggling groups of people like widows and orphans and immigrants because they were not able to provide for themselves. So what if that's part of this story? What if she reminds us of an important fact in our lives? What if the fact that everything she has is a gift is important to our understanding of her story? Now, we proud, individualistic Americans don't like to think this way about everything we have being a gift from God. We think it's all ours. We earned it, so we own it, right? But is that really true? For widows in biblical times, it was all a gift from God. Well, what if we knew that what we have is all a gift? Presbyterian pastor Reverend Dr. Cynthia Campbell spoke at a stewardship conference I attended several years ago, and she said something really profound. She said one of the tropes in our political life is opposition to so-called entitlement programs. We think people should earn what they get in life because all of us have. We don't want to be beholden. We don't want welfare. We want to earn our keep because if you earn it, you own it. All of which is fine, she said, until you remember that in fact, all of us are beneficiaries of the biggest entitlement program in the universe. You and I did not earn the right to be alive. Life is nothing more and nothing less than a completely free gift. And so, dear friends, is salvation. What God has given us in Jesus Christ is God's own self. We cannot earn this. We do not own it. It is a gift from God's immeasurable abundance. I had never heard that put quite that way before. Have you? That we are all beneficiaries of the biggest entitlement program in the universe? But isn't that true? What if there really are just two ways to look at what you have in life? Either belonging to you and you can do what you wish, or belonging to God and you are a steward or caretaker of the gift. See the difference? If you think it's all yours, you think that giving to God is giving your stuff away. If you know it's all God's, then giving to God is returning what is already God's to begin with, and it's giving out of gratitude. It's like bringing more talents back to the landowner in Matthew 25. Remember that story? The master gave 5 talents to the first servant, then 2 talents to another, and finally 1 talent to the last servant. The one who received 5 talents went and made 5 more. The one who received 2 talents made 2 more, but the one who received 1 talent buried his money, didn't use it, and brought it right back to the master upon his return, complaining the whole time. The ones who used their talents to make more were the faithful ones, and we are called to do likewise. If we know that what we have is a gift from God, it's easier to be generous, isn't it? It's easier to give our best to God. If it's God's, you want to give God the best. First fruits is what the Bible calls this kind of giving. I wonder what would our lives be like if we lived that way, giving first, giving best, knowing it's all God's and feeling grateful. It so reminds me of Maria in Mexico. She knew her whole life depended upon God, and so she gave freely and joyfully out of gratitude. We are so rich, we forget that God has given us everything, so we think it's ours, and we keep it, we hoard it, we don't want to share it. I once read that the widow's gift is symbolic of giving your life to God, because Jesus said she put in everything she had, all she had to live on. But isn't that our Christian call? To give our lives to God so that we might find the meaning of real life? Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy 6:17. He says, "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or set their hopes on riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." What does that kind of real life look like to you? How do you feel when you give your life to God? When has giving your life brought you purpose and joy? And have you experienced that unique math of God's kingdom? That when we give, there is somehow more than enough, enough to share, enough to give. When have you seen God pour out blessings because you gave? Remember Malachi 3:10 last week? He said, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing," says the Lord. When we give, aren't we blessed in ways we can't imagine? When we give, don't we grow because we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves? And giving leads to something else too. It leads to an awareness of those around us and the fact that we should live simply so that others can simply live. God wants us to give and share so that others have enough, not just us. That's what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians that we heard today. Being content with what we have is important too. Contentment is about accepting what we have instead of always wanting more and more. Christian author Philip Yancey writes about a spiritual seeker who interrupted his busy life to spend a few days in a monastery. "I hope your stay is a blessed one," said the monk who showed the visitor to his cell. "If you need anything, let us know, and we'll teach you how to live without it." Isn't that the truth? Most of what we have, we do not need. Most of what we want, we do not need. What we do need is an awareness of others and a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only one who can help us separate our wants and needs, the one who can help us find life through giving, giving of our time and talent and treasure. When I think of the widow's gift and the gifts of my friend in Mexico, I'm humbled because they gave so generously, when all too often I give so sparingly. I give out of abundance, they gave out of poverty. But their giving inspires me to give more and more freely because they know that all we have is really a gift from God, and we are merely asked to care for God's gifts, to give some back, and to use it all for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We are called to give our lives to God, to give generously of time, talent, and treasure, not out of obligation, but out of gratitude, humility, and an awareness that all of life is really a gift. For this gift, all God's people can say together, Amen.